If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Okay, so we have a lot to talk about today, Megan. But before we get into it, I want you to share with our listeners about the excitement of all of our Instagram lives that happened last week.
My God, we had so many. I'm like losing track. Eric and I have decided that during this time of self-quarantine, we're just not getting enough of each other or you guys. So we've been doing Instagram lives from both the Daily Dish Instagram account and the Bravo account. After the Beverly Hills premiere, I talked to Denise and then Kyle and Sutton. People were really, I feel like their interest was piqued around Sutton. So I'm glad we got her. And then Friday, there was a on-air marathon of Real Housewives of Miami season 3 on Bravo. So I talked to Marisol, Alexia, Adriana.
Leah and her eyelashes.
Yes, and Leah, how could I forget? So Eric and I will always keep you guys informed of our next Instagram live, either on our Instagram pages or Twitter. So be looking out for those.
And one of the things, because Megan is humble, that she didn't mention is that in her conversation with Kyle on that Instagram live, Kyle revealed a little production secret, and it tied into the moment that we see in the Beverly Hills trailer where Denise Richards is saying, "Bravo, bravo, fucking bravo." And basically, Kyle revealed that they used to do that back in season 1, sort of as a joke. But if the camera guys needed to take a break for a second and the ladies were touching up their makeup or something, and then the camera started rolling again, but they weren't ready, they would be like, "Bravo, bravo, hi, Andy Cohen, hi, Andy Cohen," just so the production company couldn't use the footage. But once that information got out, I think, to Denise, she sort of tried to use it against production. But then, as we all know, that footage is going to be used.
Production will not be played.
And one fun thing about the Miami Instagram Live is that it was crashed by Dorinda Medley.
That's right. When you're doing the live, you see all the requests come through, and usually it's just, you know, fans. But then I saw Dorinda and I was like, I have to accept this one. And Hannah, her daughter,
made a cameo. And she referred to Hannah as her Instagram live expert. I think Hannah has been recruited to help Dorinda with her social media at this quarantine time. So hang in there, Hannah.
Honestly, all the daughters and sons right now just need such a shout out, because I think we've all been helping our parents get through this time.
Oh, yeah. And you know, my mom's been joining all of our Instagram lives and she's like, "Hi, Megan."
I love her so much.
We have a bunch of stuff to talk about today because we have sort of a trifecta housewives situation happening right now where there's three on at once. And they're kind of three of my favorites.
Okay.
Except Potomac, of course.
Oh, because we're not talking about Potomac. And you love
not
Potomac.
Yet.
Yeah.
Not yet.
We will.
Oh, yes. So today we are talking Real Housewives of Atlanta finale. Real Housewives of New York City. They are still in the Hamptons. And wow, Sonia Morgan.
Wow, Bethany.
And then Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We're getting a little more into Sutton. We're learning a little bit more about her. So yeah, those are the three mains today.
And then we have interviews with Leah McSweeney from Real Housewives of New York City and Raquel Levis from Vanderpump Rules.
Plus, we'll end with Rose and Thorn. Okay, Atlanta?
Yes.
Okay, so before we get too much into the episode, I had a thought that I have a wedding coming up in October. It's at the end of October. And ooh. I know Cynthia and Mike's wedding is
10-10.
For 10-10-2020. I wonder if these weddings are going to be postponed, just given that, like, we still don't really know how long it's going to take for things to open up and things to get back to normal. And I'm kind of like, after all of this time, are Cynthia and Mike going to just have to reschedule that?
Well, I've been thinking about Stassi and Beau's wedding. Like, thank God I'm not getting married during this time. Like, I feel for all these brides who are just stressing out because it's like, yeah, it's not just a kid's party you have to reschedule. This is like an entire life event that so much money and time goes into. But I do like the 10-10-2020. But you know what else? I like that in Family Karma, they do auspicious dates for things.
Mm-hmm.
I think I should do that more so with like my life.
Just like be a little bit more.
Yeah. Like if I'm going to ask strategic. For a promotion, I need to talk to someone and be like, what's a good date for that? You know?
Right. No, that's a good point. I feel like adding, you know, it adds a little more validity to the request, yes. to the situation, you know? I respect that. Can we please just talk about Mama Joyce?
Okay, so when Candy was walking up to her mom's house, but we only saw her from the back, I thought it was Mama Joyce.
That's happened to me a couple of times, depending on the wig Candy's wearing or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes I'll be like, oh, damn, I can't believe, because I don't always think they look alike, but then I'll be like, damn, okay, I think I can see it now.
I think they have a lot of the same mannerisms, and that's what it is. Candy always has this permanent look on her face of just like, I don't even know how to describe it, but do you know what I mean? It's like when her mom's like, oh, that lunchbox has a story. And she's like,
does it?
Like, what is that? What would you call that? I'm doing it for Eric right now.
It's the Candy scowl. It's sort of the Candy like confused. It's a very gif-able face. You know,
yeah.
It's a very gif-able expression that Candy has, because I think she looks at things, especially Mama Joyce, with a little bit of a, what are you getting at? Like, what are you talking about? You know, because Mama Joyce often reaches with these metaphors that she tries to put out there. And we saw it last season with the whole lemons and lemon tree and Todd. And of course, now we have another metaphor with this lunchbox that ties back to Todd. But it's always like, what is she talking about? Did she really find this lunchbox and she was triggered by it and this experience she had in the first grade over 60 years ago? I don't think so. But I think she saw a lunchbox and decided, oh, let me think of a way that I can use this to explain something to Candy that Candy already is very aware of. She knows how Mama Joyce feels about Todd. And it's just like, come on, give it a rest, Mama Joyce.
It made me think of, this is so stupid, but I was doing one of these like corporate training situations at work. And they were saying that like, partner up and say the most valuable thing you have with you today. So the guy that I was partnered with, he was like, I guess I would say my watch. And they said, now, your partner should try to get that from you. And what they meant was using the art of persuasion and blah, 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 blah. But all I heard was they should try to get it from you. So I said, can I see it? And then he just like showed it to me and then I just snatched it. And I was like, do I win? But yeah.
You little deviant.
But yeah, I guess the real lesson in all of this was if someone says, can I see that? Say no.
Say no. Say no. Well, it's so crazy to think that Mama Joyce then there was a situation where they ran into each other at a restaurant. Todd didn't come over and say hi. And then Mama Joyce took it as far as not even coming to the baby shower.
That's what I was going to say. Like, yeah, Todd is in the wrong for being rude, but I think the real person who's in the wrong is her. Yeah. Because it's not about you, Bronwyn. Like, this is your daughter's baby shower. Like, I don't care if you feel slighted. It's not about you.
Yeah.
You're not even supporting him by going. You're supporting your daughter.
Yeah. Well, I think respect goes both ways, and respect has to be earned. Even if you are Mama Joyce and you're the mama, and, you know, as the mother-in-law, Todd has to have respect. It's sort of like Todd doesn't have to have respect for someone who doesn't have respect for him.
And that's
it's just kind of the fundamentals of human interaction and human relationships, is there has to be a level of respect. And, you know, Todd owned it by the end of it, and he apologized at the end of the baby shower for the way he treated Candy and the whole situation, and he wished Mama Joyce was there. But I think Mama Joyce could have been the bigger person in the situation, maybe showed up a little bit late, but still came through to support Candy, to support her new grandchild that's on the way, and just sort of put the bullshit aside for a little bit. And that's kind of what you have to do. That's what you have to do when there's those big life events. So I don't know. It's just Mama Joyce she's a piece of work.
I also thought when Todd was giving like this very public apology at the baby shower, I was like, that would just have made me more mad, because I would have been like, so now everyone knows we were fighting. Cool. Thanks. Thanks for that.
That's true. That's true. But I feel like, again, going back to Candy's faces, the faces she was making at Todd at the beginning of the baby shower were very telling of how they felt about each other in that moment.
You think they're going to be okay, right?
I honestly do. And it's funny because at the end, when we get those little like text recaps of where everyone is, there was that shelter at home update. And we had talked about that, I think last week or the week before, when we saw Candy and Todd going to therapy and sort of dealing with all of the issues with her not being around and their co-parenting and all of that kind of stuff. So obviously they're now having no choice, spending a lot of time together, and hopefully being able to work through some of those things. But I honestly think they're going to be fine, if only so Candy can spite Mama Joyce.
You know, that honestly probably is the secret to a long-lasting relationship, is just being so stubborn that you refuse to fail, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. One thing we had talked about last week, too, that I thought was interesting was the whole Kenya Shamia situation.
Right.
So that comes up in this episode again, where basically Portia tells Nene that, oh, no, Kenya was exaggerating. That's not how it went down. Shamia said that that's not at all how it played out. Kenya was reaching, blah, blah, blah.
So later on, Shamia walked up to me pissed. She said, I did not call that girl when my water broke.
Oh, my God. Okay, wait now, Portia. They had some kind of conversation. You do know.
Look,
that.
Shamia, she showed me a text where Kenya had texted her after the day of her birth. In the text, she's saying to Kenya, girl, my water broke while I was out. And Kenya's like, oh, wow, that's crazy. Oh, but I thought you said she called you when it broke.
Yeah.
So how you acting surprised when she told you after the fact?
But did you see that Kenya came through with the receipts on Twitter last night?
I didn't. Tell me.
Okay, so I took a screenshot, obviously, because I have received.
Never know.
The receipt.
Yeah. You never know when someone might delete something. You gotta have a screenshot.
Kenya texts Shamia, "Hey, lady, do you ever feel hiccups? I don't." Shamia, "No, it's funny. Everyone asks me that, but I just don't. I woke up wet this morning, and not just a little discharge. So I'm walking into the dock so they can tell me if I just pissed myself or if my sack is leaking." It is so funny.
I mean, you lost me a discharge, Eric, but okay.
It's so funny because when I read this last night, I was not even thinking I was just trying to get to the point. So it's also, Kenya, you are there now? Shamia, yes. Are you scared? Where is your husband? Do you need me to come? Where are you? They said it was pregnancy discharge. I'm fine. That's so sweet of you. Oh God, okay. So granted, this isn't the exact moment that Shamia's water broke. There was just a little, you know, discharge, whatever. So I think maybe Kenya was getting her wires crossed a little bit in that moment where she was like, I don't know where Portia was, but when your water broke, you and I were texting. So maybe Kenya...
A little misleading.
Yeah, I think she might have exaggerated a little bit. what have you. But obviously they had been in touch. Being moms, being pregnant around the same time, there was some communication there. So Kenya wanted to show, yeah, I still do have this relationship with Shamia. But I think what Portia was getting at was it wasn't the exact moment that she had presented at the time.
Right, right.
So I don't know. I don't know. It's a little bit, I don't really know whose side.
But so who was sharing that? Kenya on Twitter?
Kenya shared that on Twitter. Yeah, screenshots of her text exchange with Shamia.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. The other thing about this episode too was everything that went down with Nene and Kenya and coming out of that conversation with Portia that Nene was having. Well, actually, it came from the conversation she had with Wendy where, you know, this came up previously this season when the whole Buffalo comment happened and it was like, don't talk about my child. And Nene's like, I'm not talking about your child. I'm talking about you. But then Nene's talking to Wendy about how Brooklyn was conceived.
You don't see me on a red carpet asking where her eggs were found, saying it was Mark's sperm and some eggs that they bought or found out of the country somewhere.
She's being a little shady about that. And I think that it could be received by people as that she's shaming women in the process of getting pregnant. Like, even if it's just about the way she feels about Kenya, whatever, but it's still putting a little bit of shame on how a baby might have been conceived. And I don't think that that's right.
I agree. I did LOL though, because Nene said eggs, she used the phrase, I don't know, eggs they found. They just found some eggs on the floor and like decided to have a baby. Also, it was just like the whole idea of, you know, their marriage isn't even real. They can't find a marriage license. I just think they shook hands and decided to have a baby. Is that not also just what marriage is? Like, I mean, really, it's a piece of paper. Like, I just don't understand that. That whole, like, what is the problem then? They've decided to enter into a union, whether it is ordained by whoever or not.
Right.
But also, they probably, I just don't understand why it matters. It's just like stupid things like that.
I think it matters to Nene only because she has been with Greg for so long. And she believes that through all the ups and downs, their marriage, even though it was off and then back on, I think she feels that she is the resident expert among these ladies when it comes to marriage. So she feels entitled to be able to speak on everybody else's when she sees fit. And that's just not always true. You know, like I think Nene has had her experience with Greg and her experience with marriage. That doesn't mean she is able to criticize or discuss anybody else's, you know?
Right.
We see it on Vanderpump Rules with the way, you know, some of the cast members treat Tom and Ariana for not getting married and the credibility of their relationship. And it's just sort of like to each his own in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Did you actually prefer the name Banks over Blaze? Because I sure did.
I really did. Because, I mean, Blaze is definitely unique, but Banks I've never heard before.
Right. And, you know, everyone has a personal association with certain names, so you always think of that first. And my friends Alana and Dylan have a dog named Blaze, so like my association with that name is a dog. And Banks, there's a singer named Banks and I like her music, so I think maybe I had a more positive association with the name Banks and I just thought that was cuter. And then I was sort of like, did they rig the game so that it could be Blaze? Because everyone else.
I don't know.
Give it up for Banks if you want Banks. Give it up for Blaze if you want Blaze. It's sounding kind of even to me. Okay.
The winner is
Banks.
Blaze.
Candy, I think, was disappointed.
I know. And it seemed like all the other ladies were rooting for the name Banks. So I'm like, I don't know, this might be rigged. I'd like a recount of those.
Also, votes. I just would never leave the name of my child up to a vote.
Yeah, absolutely not.
But also, you know what I think of? And probably because I just rewatched it, but I think of Father of the Bride and Martin Short being like, oh, welcome to the 90s, Mr. Punks.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, I didn't think of that, but now.
That didn't just come to your mind?
Oh, it did weird. Not come to me, but it is now. So I got the chance to speak with Leah McSweeney, the new Real Housewife of New York City. And we talked about that sheer bucket hat that she brought to the Hamptons. A little bit about the tattoo shaming that happened among the other ladies and what else she's been doing in quarantine. She also shared a little tidbit about where her daughter Kier's name came from, which I really thought was cool. So here's that interview.
There she is. Hey, Leah.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Not bad.
Where are you?
I'm in the Hamptons.
Oh my gosh, you lucky gal.
I really am.
Have you been going to the beach?
It's kind of cold, but like, you know, and I honestly can't get my daughter to leave her bedroom. But yeah, I've been taking little walks here and there.
Yeah. Well, you got to get out a little bit, right? This
you
is the
have
only
to.
Way we're going to stay sane is if we get
you
out
have
of the
to.
House.
Yeah, except I like messed up my rotator cuff. Like I can't like... So I can't work out right now.
Uh-oh.
Like, I guess I could run, but it's just, I have to be careful.
Right, right. Well, I mean, get out as much as you can. I'm trying to do the same. I'm about to do my weekly grocery shopping trip.
Okay, and I just heard you're in Astoria, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Is the grocery store nearby?
Yeah, I mean, there's like 100, you know, like there's so many places that we can go to, which is great. And of course I go to like certain ones for certain things. That's
right.
Just how you got to do it, you know? Well, you are a city girl yourself. So I know it's come up a couple times already this season, the like downtown versus uptown vibe mentality. So can you talk a little bit about that for people who aren't native New Yorkers?
All right. So I grew up in Chelsea, right? Until I was 14 when I moved to Connecticut. But so Chelsea is like the gay mecca. I mean, you know, it's been like that since I was born. I don't know what it was like before that. It's such a great neighborhood. It has so much flavor. And, you know, I feel like so lucky that I got to grow up there. But I went to school on the Upper East Side, which is where most of the women live.
Yes.
And, you know, it was such a polarizing difference. Like, between, I remember my dad used to be like, oh, the Upper East Side sucks. It's not a real neighborhood. Which, look... It's a real neighborhood, obviously. There's just not that much flavor up there, you know?
Yeah.
And it's obvious, you know, I mean, now it's actually one of the more affordable neighborhoods in New York. And actually downtown is more expensive than the Upper East Side.
Right.
But it's definitely an old money, you know, very stuffy. And that's where all the people with a lot of money lived back in the day. Like, it's not really like that anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Soho, Tribeca... I mean, every neighborhood is very expensive in the city now, but downtown's actually more expensive.
Well, so you're in the Hamptons now. Let's talk a little bit about the Hamptons because we saw you guys go there on last night's episode. And there was an awful lot of tattoo shaming. And I see a lot of people commenting about like, show us your tattoos. Like, we want to see your hand tat. So what was that like? Like, did you expect that? Are you used to like tattoo shaming or is that something?
I have never, ever had any comments like that ever.
Right.
And I mean, I have friends from all walks of life, you know, I mean, it was very, very weird. I mean, I have friends that are from the Upper East Side. I grew up with people from the Upper East Side. This is not representative of New York to me. It's not the New York I know. It's kind of like very naive and sheltered in a way. Like, I'm like, do these women not leave their apartments?
Right.
Do they not watch TV? Have
they
not seen Angelina Jolie or Rihanna or any, there's so many people, you know, that have tattoos that I don't think they would react to like that.
Right.
I was most surprised by Sonia, I have to admit.
I think a lot of people were because, you know, we love Sonia. She's so eccentric. She's so wacky. She's so wild that like
right.
we did not expect her to be, you know, kind of judgmental in that respect.
I know.
You know?
Me neither.
So can you clarify how many tattoos you actually have and the status of the tramp stamp?
Okay. Total 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, I think.
Right.
And that's not a lucky number, but whatever. So, okay, the tramp stamp I wanted to have removed for a long time. Look, I forget that it's there because it's on my lower back. I'm never seeing my lower back. And of course, you know, if I wear something that's cropped or whatever, I don't really, like, when I remember that it's there, I'm like, oh my God. I think the tramp stamp needs to stay there forever.
Right. You got to, like, wear it proud.
I have to wear it. And this is the funny thing is that it was kind of a domino effect because, you know, when I got it done, I think I was 16 or something. And I'm like, I thought it was the best idea. I'm like, I'm going to get my name. Because everything was about the name back then. It was about a name ring or your name plate.
Earrings.
Yeah. It was all about your name, right? So I was like, I'm going to take it 10 steps further. Forget the name plate. I'm getting my name on me.
That's so
amazing. Very 90s, you know?
Right.
And then all my friends ended up getting it too. They're like, I'm getting it. And then they got it in Hebrew or in this and that. Like, you know, everyone had their own version of their names or whatever. And we all still have them.
Yeah, well, I think I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago and I confessed to you that I also have a tramp stamp.
Yes, I know. What is it?
It's my zodiac sign. So it's just like, and that was the first tattoo that I ever got when I was 18. And it was like, I went with a bunch of friends because it was the first one. I almost passed out because I was like, not sure what pain to expect, you know? And then now I'm looking back and I don't really regret any of my tattoos. And I'm sure you don't either. You know, it's like one of those things where it just becomes a part of you. But
absolutely.
Like, I definitely didn't even, like, I don't feel like tramp stamps were a thing. Like, they weren't qualified as that back then.
They weren't.
Now it's like, okay, but.
But that's why I just call it that. And I just lean in because, like, you don't understand how many times I've heard, oh, it's so a guy doesn't forget your name. Like, that's why when, like, Sonia said it, I was like, ha ha. Like, you know, I mean, I've heard this a bazillion times. Normally, it's not from a woman saying it. Normally, right. It's a guy being an asshole saying it.
Well, you're not the only one with tattoos. We learned that Tinsley has Topper's tattoos on her hip. And she sort of says the same thing. Like, I don't have plans to get it removed. It's just, like, there. I got it when I was young. Like, whatever.
She's a romantic.
Yeah.
Tinsley is a true romantic, and so it doesn't surprise me that she has that.
Right.
You know?
Well, can we talk about Tinsley's RLM tattoo, aka real lusty moment?
Did she say lusty or lucky?
I thought it was lusty.
Well, my hearing is so bad that, like, it probably was, but I thought it was real lucky moment.
Right. Well, I think for Tinsley, it was a real lucky moment. Maybe the way Sonia looks at it, it's a real lusty moment. It's all about perspective with that one.
That's true.
I want to talk a little bit about Sonia. So we see her flirting with that guy, William, Ramona's friend, William. I think it was in the first episode, this hot younger guy. So, you know, you obviously have seen Sonia's dating style. What is your dating style compared to what you've seen of these ladies?
I mean, I'm not really, like, out there trying to date. And, like, obviously, like, Ramona is, you know, as she expresses on the show, she's looking for someone. She wants a man to hold her.
She's looking for love, yeah.
She wants a man to hold her and love her and want her. You know, I'm just in a place where this is my dating style. I love passion. If it's not freaking fireworks, like, bang down the door. Oh God, can my daughter hear me? Passion. that I don't want it if it's not that.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I'm not on dating apps, you know, I can't really tell by a photo. I need to be vibing with the person because I've been in relationships and with men that look completely all different from each other. I don't really have a type. It's more of a vibe.
Well, Sonia, I think on Watch What Happens Live last night, called you a man killer. Would you qualify yourself as a man killer?
I think I've definitely left a, I think I definitely have maybe left a trail of destruction of men, you know, maybe.
Yeah.
But it's not, I just wasn't into that guy.
Right, right. Well, it's funny because even some listeners of the podcast have reached out and said to me, I feel like I'm halfway in between where Ramona is this season and where Leah is. Like, you're just like, I don't need a man. I'm an independent woman, whatever. And Ramona's crying in public saying, yeah. I need someone to hold me. So,
yeah. I mean, look, I, you know, even being an independent woman and whatever, like, I got this, like, of course I still love, you know, men and I right. like when I'm like one, but I just don't like one. And also William, I was playing with, I was trying to have banter with, but he wasn't having the banter back with me. Like, he could have come back and said something and maybe I would have been like, oh, that's funny. I like him, you know, but he was just like,
I don't think he had what you were looking for, maybe.
I don't think so.
A couple people submitted some fan questions, so I wanted to get to a couple of those because I thought they were pretty good. Sarah Plain Jane asked, how did you come up with your daughter's name?
Oh, this is a great question. So my daughter's name is Keir. She is named after Lady Miss Keir from Delight, which is a group that sings Groove is in the Heart. That's their main, like, that's their big hit song, of course.
Yes.
Like, I mean, but, you know, they have amazing songs that aren't that big. And she was one of my heroes growing up. And I actually ended up meeting her when I was pregnant. And she gave me her blessing to name Keir after her. And then we ran into each other a couple years ago, and I consider her one of my very good friends.
That
now,
is so
which
amazing.
Is incredible. Because they say don't meet your heroes, and now I'm lucky enough to have one of my heroes, someone who, I mean, she came, we've been to her house, we've had lunch together, we talk all the time. Like, it's actually one of the most amazing things that's ever happened to me.
That is the coolest thing. There are so many comments coming in where people are like, you are my hero. That's the best story I've ever heard. That is so amazing.
If you look on my Instagram, there's a picture from last summer of me, Kiki, and her in a boat in Prospect Park all together hanging out.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Does Kiki think it's cool, or is she in like the teenager phase at now where she's like, whatever?
You know, she definitely puts me in my place all the time and reminds me that I am a huge dork. But she, I think deep down, she knows, especially with Lady Miss Keir, she knows that it's a blessing, it's an honor to be named after her and to have her, you know, be calling her little Keir and everything. So
right.
It's cool. She knows it's cool.
That's cool. Another one from Han Villalobos. What brand was your dress from the Married to the Mob anniversary party at the SNS bar? Where was that from?
Oh, that was from, is it called Citizen Cotton or Cotton Citizen? I can't remember.
Oh,
which.
Yeah.
Yeah, that brand. Yeah.
They said you looked fire.
Thank you. Fire, oh my God, that was one of my favorite looks. And my hair was really, I have to admit, my hair was very popping that night. I had never worn my hair like that before. Now it's one of my favorite hair styles. So that was a great night.
The Treble asks, where is the bucket hat from?
So the bucket hat is from a Swedish designer named Ida Klamborn. And I tagged her in my photo of me in the hat. I mean, I had no idea it was going to cause a commotion. I just thought it was cute. I mean, I like weird little things like that. I'm like, oh, it's mesh. It's a bucket hat. I know some people were disgusted by it. Some people loved it. It was definitely a thing where you either love it or you hate it.
Right. Oh, absolutely. But I mean, bucket hats are definitely back in now. There are so many 90s trends that are back in.
Yeah. I mean, I love bucket hats, but I like that this was mesh. I mean, I like that it was see-through. And plus, like, look, I have a very, you know, particular, like, I was just wearing my jeans, t-shirts. I'm a very like basics girl like that. Like, I love good basics, but then I like something that goes with it that just pops and stands out, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why I thought the bucket hat was perfect.
And you said you had two. Is there one in a different color?
So no, by accident, the company sent me two. Oh. So now I have two.
Maybe you should.
I don't know if they charged me. They might have charged me for both though, so I'm not sure. But yeah, but I literally just took the second one like out of the box like a few weeks ago and it's in my closet. So,
so funny.
Have two hats.
This next question, I love this person's username. It's Sustain in the Membrane. And they asked, what occasion did you get your necklace? I've never seen you without it.
I know. I don't, you know what? This is, people always bring this up to me. They're like, oh, you never take that necklace off. But like, I'm, you know, I'm someone who, when I find something that I like and I don't know, it's like, I don't feel the need to keep changing things, to be honest. And I've never really told this story before, but I bought this necklace when me and Rob broke up. I went to a jewelry store that's not there anymore. It's called William Bartman Jewelers. Actually, it's now in a different area, but it moved. But anyway, it was on Broadway, downtown the financial district. And I'm like, I'm going to go spend a bunch of money on myself right now. I was young and, you know, whatever. I was just like, I'm getting this necklace. I love it. And I don't know now. I just wear it all the time.
Well, I love it. That's great. That's a great story too. You know, sometimes you like don't really realize how it might have some deep
significance. It does have some kind of, you know, it wasn't like I don't really remember what I was feeling, but like, and it wasn't like I was like celebrating the breakup or anything like that, but it was just like, this is a pivotal moment in my life and I'm buying something that's going to represent it. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good story. The last one that I got prior to the live was from Sam1am75 and they asked, did your impression of anyone change from the start to the end of filming?
Of course.
You're like, everyone.
Like, obviously, yeah. I mean, of course, because look, I went in and I was like, I'm not having any preconceived, as much as I can, notions about anyone. I'm going to go in there with an open mind and an open heart and just be myself and see what happens. So, of course, there's definitely people who, some people surprise me in positive ways and some people surprise me in not so positive ways.
Right. And I think we'll see a lot of that play out.
Yeah, you will. You absolutely will.
You know, I always find very interesting to talk to people about, you know, knowing what's to come this season and just kind of thinking back on it. Was there ever a moment where you were just like, what have I gotten myself into? Like, I need to walk away.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, I feel like if that doesn't happen to you, then you're freaking totally insane. Like, completely insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. I was definitely like, oh, my God. This is crazy. But there was like, you know, but then it had like a learning curve. Like, I think the first half of the season, I was just like, oh, my God. And then I'm like, all right. Now, you know, because it's, I think you'll see after this particular cast trip that I had a difficult time on, mm-hmm. I think after that, I was like, all right, I got to just have fun with this and enjoy it. Because what's the point if you're not having fun?
Yeah. A couple more questions have come in. Who is your style inspiration? Love your style. You're my favorite housewife already. And that's from Sinead Rose.
You know, I love the way a lot of people dress. I mean, it's not like I'm, you know, Irina Shayk. I don't even know if I'm saying her name right, but I freaking love the way she dresses. I don't really think I dress that way at all, but I love the way she dresses. I mean, she can pull off anything, obviously. She's the hottest woman in the world. Kate Moss, Rihanna, yeah. Little Kim. I mean, you know, I love the way Cardi B dresses.
Yeah.
Not that I dress like that, but, you know, I just, you know, yeah, I love the way all of them dress.
Joe Passio says, have you already been planning your reunion outfit? Obviously, that's like a huge moment for everyone. What do you
think? I know. I think, well, I was thinking about it a lot until like coronavirus hit, you know, obviously. But we don't even know what we're doing for the reunion now, like with everything.
Like the theme,
obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know the theme. I can't wait to hear the theme, though.
Right. It usually ties into something in the season, somewhere you guys go or some kind of big theme. Maybe it'll be Giovanni. I know that was a new thing for you, but.
I know. And now people are like, oh, she like knew what it was. I'm like, no, I didn't. I can't act like that. Like, I can't, like, I'm not an actress, right. You know? So I really had no idea what it was.
Right. There was another question here. Let me scroll back up. Are you friends with anyone from other Bravo shows?
I mean, not like I'm friendly, you know? Yeah. I mean, I don't. No, but if I would consider myself friends, but there's like some of the women from Jersey who I talk to on DM or whatever, like we go back and forth and that's it though. It's really just like Marge I talk to on DM, Jackie, Teresa, that's kind of it, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And who have you been in touch with from the show mostly through this experience? I know you guys are in like group chats, you're doing like Zoom meetings and stuff, like hanging out. So who are you in touch with the most?
Probably Dorinda.
Yeah.
That might surprise everybody right now.
I think at this point, probably, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, Dorinda, Luann, but also Ramona, honestly. I mean, Tinsley too, but I think me and Dorinda are more like just chatty, you know? Like we're chatty people. So like we like FaceTime and talk on the phone. And it was like that the whole season, to be honest. I mean, I really, you'll see. I mean, Dorinda really, I have to say, and Luann too, they really both championed me and came to my defense when I needed them and really both had my back.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm excited to see that. I know we do see a preview of you and Dorinda getting a bit into it. You have a moment where you like throw off your jacket, which is just like the biggest diva moment ever. And I'm obsessed already.
Yeah, but I gotta say, you know, yeah, exactly. But it's like, you know, when you're friends, when you like really care about someone, you can be like, what the fuck, like in their face, you know, about stuff.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, it's like almost like sisterly, you know, people get into the worst fights with their siblings, but it's because they know that they can, you know, and that there's still love at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Mattress Swayze. I like that username too. Mattress Swayze says, who is the biggest pot stirrer this season? It can be you.
It might have been me. I don't know. I think it's freaking Sonia. I don't know if it's conscious or not. I don't know.
Right. I could see that. I think that, yeah. Makes some sense.
And I saw someone asked about my hair, and I just want to give my hair girl a shout out because she's amazing. I get my hair colored and cut, everything, at the Jenna Perry Hair Salon. And at Cool Tones does my color. And Ashley, her name is, and Nilza, who works there, does my cut, and it's just and Jenna Perry is a friend of mine. It's amazing. It's like super girl power business in the East Village. They're so on point. They're the ones that made Bella Hadid blonde. Anyway, they're great.
Ooh, okay, yeah. I mean, so. We all need hair recommendations. Like everybody is just getting like a little when I, long.
I can't tell you when this is over. I'm going so freaking blonde. But I think first of all, my roots are gonna be down to here by the time this is over, and I might just rock that for a little bit.
I like that look, honestly.
Just to be like, look, this is Corona, like, fuck right. You know?
I've and earned then, this, yeah.
Then I'm going full blonde, like, there crazy is blonde.
Somebody, my mom was telling me, I think my mom's even on this live right now, Kim G Mack, and she was telling me that Kelly Ripa has some kind of spray. There's, like, a spray that you can put on your roots to help cover them up.
Really?
In the meantime, so something to maybe look into. But
maybe, but I'm just, I don't even know how many gray hairs I have, so I'll find out now.
Right, you'll learn.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Leah, for joining me. It's always so fun to talk to you.
Thank you for having me. Stay safe, stay sane.
You too.
Good luck with the grocery shopping, wear your mask, wear your gloves, wash your hands, all that.
Thank you. And say hi to Kiki for us.
I absolutely will.
All right, talk to you
soon. Bye.
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 Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Get up to 30% off well-crafted and personalized gifts from participating shops until May 12th. This year, embrace your creative side. You know, the side your mom gave you. And shop Etsy for custom jewelry, style pieces, home decor, and extra special items she'll adore. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
Do you ever feel like you're settling? For your foundation, that is. Maybelline's new Instant Age Rewind Eraser Foundation doesn't settle into fine lines and wrinkles. With SPF 20 and moisturizing Pro Vitamin B5, this foundation not only provides medium coverage and a natural finish, but also protects and nourishes your skin. And the best part? The blurring sponge tip applicator makes application a breeze. Say goodbye to cakey, uneven foundation. And hello to a flawless, radiant complexion. Try our new foundation today and see the difference for yourself at amazon.com/instant-eraser-foundation.
Roni?
Yes! Oh my God, Eric, I loved this episode so much.
So, so good. Exactly what we need right now.
I mean, really, it's just, who is your favorite Real Housewives franchise cast to be wasted?
Oh my God, definitely New York.
I think so too. And do they get more drunk than every other cast? I think maybe also.
I think so. My second thought was Real Housewives of Dallas, only because I was thinking of Deandra in Mexico being just this past season. Because I do enjoy when they, and Brandy too, like Brandy always delivers when she's drunk.
Yeah.
Stephanie too, she's been pretty silly in the past. But the Roni ladies take it to a whole new level. And it is really ensemble-wise for sure, but Sonia is just something else.
Oh, okay, so when Dorinda crashed the Real Housewives of Miami Instagram live, I was like, oh my God, this episode, it's insane. She's like, wasn't that great? And I was like, Sonia doesn't shave her pussy.
You know, I don't shave my pussy.
And she goes, can I tell you, I didn't even remember that she said that. And I was like, how do you not remember something like that?
Well, I think to be fair, the things that Dorinda must hear come out of Sonia's mouth, like,
right?
She can't take it all on. You know, she probably right. only processes a few of the things and is like, oh, because also it just registers with people at a certain point. Like, Sonia's wasted. We need to get her out of here. Like, we need to do something with her. So at that point, you just stop listening to what she's saying. But I mean, that party was so stiff that without Sonia, it just would have been the most boring situation.
I also ever. Just felt so much secondhand embarrassment for Ramona. Like, I just felt she was being so gross about how ostentatious this house was. And just like, oh my, what? Shouldn't you play it a little cooler? You know what I mean?
I love this mirror. You don't understand how much I love standing mirrors. I have one in my apartment.
This one's beautiful.
Oh my God. Look, I'm in love with this mirror.
Well, it can be arranged.
Absolutely. The way that Ramona talks about her social life, it sort of, she should know how to behave in those situations. But it's funny because Sonia talks about almost being old money. And not that Ramona is new money, but it's just that difference of
Sonia's sort of,
right. And but it's like Sonia's over that elite lifestyle. Like she did that when she was younger. She had to go to all of those kind of events and parties and all stuffy and blah, blah, blah. And at this point, Sonia just wants to like let loose, have fun, just deliver quality reality television to the people who need it. So Ramona, let her do it.
Right. I wondered also during this, don't you feel like Dorinda and Dorit from Beverly Hills would be best friends? I feel like they both identify with the European lifestyle, even though they're American, just because Dorinda the whole time was like, oh, it's so American to do a house tour. Like, you would never do that in London. It's like, all right, calm down, Dorinda. You live here.
That is so true. And you know what? Okay, so for some of our listeners, they might know we have a digital series called Housewife to Housewife. And I feel like Dorinda and Dorit would be a perfect pairing.
Oh my God, I'm going to message Crystal who does that right now because that is genius.
That is so good. You have West Coast, East Coast, but you do have that European influence. I really, truly believe that they would just click. And especially if we brought up to Dorinda, like, would you ever drink, you know, water out of a champagne glass or whatever? Remember, you know, Dorit had an issue with that. I feel like Dorinda would be like, God, no. So I think we are onto something here for sure.
I think for sure. I want to go to the conversation specifically about Sonia being quote unquote accessory to her last husband.
You were his accessory.
Oh yes. Okay. So Elise coming in hot, really auditioning for the role of friend of this.
She really looks like one, you know? Oh,
absolutely. And I think while they were filming this season, she was on a lot of their social media posts. So there has been some buzz around who is she? Is she going to cause some issues? Let's see what happens. And she brought it this episode by going after the ex-husband and Sonia's former lifestyle, which she should know is not going to end well.
I know. Oh, God. Just like, don't bring it up. Like, please, dear God, don't bring up Sonia's past marriage, you know, it's just a trigger.
Right. And I don't necessarily think that Elise was trying to be shady or disrespectful or anything like that. I think she was trying to commiserate with Sonia.
Because I think what she was saying, she was like, before you got married to him, I knew you and you had men eating out of the palm of your hand. Like, and then you got with this guy and yeah, he sort of treated you like a trophy wife, which yeah. By the way, I would be okay with being a trophy wife. I don't see why that's a bad thing.
It's interesting, the idea of a trophy wife, because it comes up where Sonia, I think, accuses Tinsley of being one for Topper. And Tinsley's like, hold on a second. We were high school
sweetheart. My high school sweetheart? Yeah.
Like, I was not a trophy wife. Like, I have his initials tattooed on my body. Like, we are the same age. That is not the same situation at all. And it really isn't. I mean, at the end of the day, we know Tinsley is a hopeless romantic. She just wants the princess life. And she has dated older guys. She mentions going on a date with Joe Farrell. That didn't go well because he dated Bethany. He doesn't drink. It's not her type. So I don't think Tinsley has a problem finding dudes her age. And I don't think she's looking to be a trophy wife because she doesn't need that. She's worth like $35 million. Like, she's good, you know?
Wow. Did you look her up on...
I very often Google everyone's net worth just out of curiosity. Like, I just like to just know when they're all in a room together. I'm like, how much
money? Who's the richest?
How much money is in that room? I think I looked once and Tinsley was worth the same as like candy or something crazy, which I always think of candy as like so rich, just knowing she never stops working and has written all of the greatest songs of all time. And then just to know that she's worth the same as Tinsley, I'm like, damn, well, Tinsley's worth a lot for, you know, not being a major songwriter.
It's that old money.
At the end of the episode, we see Luann is over it. She's out. She wants no more spiders in the basement. She ditches everybody in the middle of the night. I was pleasantly surprised by Ramona's message to her, because we've seen Ramona on the phone. I'm thinking back to like her conversation with Bethany, you don't support other women. We've seen Ramona get fired up when she feels insulted or slighted or any of that. But she was very gentle with Luann, apologetic, calm. Like, do you think it was the hangover that was just...
I think it's because she had Dorinda there to sort of keep her in check. And yep. Dorinda just being like, less is more. Just say, Although I wouldn't have been nice to Luann. Like, am I crazy? I just think that you just suck it up, Buttercup, and you just make it work.
She also, it wasn't like there was a bed in a like dark, smelly basement. Well, apparently it was smelly, but... the cameras went down there. Ramona took everyone down there. It was like its own suite.
I mean, I think it's probably one of those things. I'm hoping that it's not about what it's about, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, it's one thing to just want to be sleeping in your own bed. But if it's only for a couple nights, Luann, like, suck it up. Sorry your room has no windows because you're in the basement, but it could be worse.
Yeah. I mean, it's like... blackout curtains. Just enjoy it. Sleep in. I spoke with Raquel Levies from Vanderpump Rules. She talked about James's newfound sobriety and how it's affecting their relationship. Plus, she responds to fans' theories that Lala is in love with James. Here's that interview. Joining me now on the phone is Raquel from Vanderpump Rules. Hi, Raquel.
Hi, Megan. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm doing well over here at home in LA.
Yes. Tell me, how are things going in self-isolation?
I mean, they're going pretty well, honestly. I could honestly get used to this. I've been doing Pilates 3 days a week and through Instagram Live, and it's been, like, really good for me.
Yeah.
And James and I are making home-cooked meals, and they're delicious, and we're playing video games and hanging out. So hopefully it doesn't go too much longer, because I don't know how long I can, you know, stand doing everything. But so far it's manageable.
Are you guys driving each other crazy at all?
No, I don't think we're driving each other crazy. My dog is driving me a little bit crazy. She's crying and crying right now.
And that's so funny.
Yeah, you know, all this attention is like now the new norm, and he needs attention 24/7 now.
Right? Pets, man, they just like do not know how to handle all of this. They're freaking out. So I actually did an interview with James not too long ago, and it was really interesting, the outpouring of support that we got from listeners who responded and really said that, like, wow, James seems like a different person. You know, we've seen James on this, like, first half of the season, but I know that he's gone without drinking for a while, and now mm-hmm. we're just starting to see that part on the show. Yeah. And it's just interesting how it comes through, even in his interviews. He just sounds like a different person.
Mm-hmm. My response to that is, it's still the same James. This is the James that I fell in love with and that I've been talking about. No one, you know, seemed to believe me at the time. But, you know, now that he's not drinking, he is able to think clearer, and he's not overcome by irrational emotions anymore.
Yeah. Do you feel like your relationship has changed since the drinking stopped?
Definitely. You know, he's very kind. He asks me, you know, he makes sure my needs are met, and we're very, vocal about how we're feeling at all times. And he expresses to me that, like, it is difficult, but the longer he goes not drinking, the easier it gets, because he's in this new routine and he's making music and he's focused, and in turn our relationship is doing really well.
I also feel like he's turned a corner with other people on the show. You know, Jax was singing his praises to me the last time I talked to Jax, and it was like, wow, this is different than what I'm seeing right now on the show.
It's so funny. I know they like talk to each other on Twitter, and like they're all like buddy now. It's so funny. But I think it's because James is just a really funny, charismatic guy naturally. So now, you know, that's really able to come through, and that's really in the forefront instead of, you know, focusing on the bad thing. We get more of the good.
Well, I wanted to talk to you about this wine night that we see on the show at Katie's house. Mm-hmm. It started so great. You were invited. You know, it seems like the friendships are deepening between you and the other girls. And then it just
all the parties. Yeah, all the parties start so great, and then there's always something that takes a turn.
What happened? You have to walk me through it, because I don't understand.
You know, I don't understand a lot of the time either, and most of the time I'm caught very off guard, because, you know, Lala and I have our differences and see things in very different perspectives. And we're able to come together and kind of like move past that, as you saw at our coffee date earlier. And then, you know, something takes a turn, or maybe she talks to someone and it changes her mind, or I don't really know. I couldn't tell you, but she definitely has been coming after me this season.
It seems like you guys will be on a good note, but then something turns, and I just can't figure out what it is that makes her so angry at you.
You know, I don't think it's something, I couldn't imagine it being something that I did personally to her. I think that she's, you know, there's something really dark and broken inside of her, and she's carrying around a lot of resentment. So when she gets attacking me, I feel like in a way I can't take what she's saying personally, because, you know, she's just not coming from a place with a clear head. She can't be, you know?
Right. Well, I think it was Dana who in the episode said that she feels like Lala must have a crush on James for her to react the way she does.
I mean, maybe it wouldn't be the first time. I mean, we've seen, you know, Kristen not be over James and Hope and whatnot. But honestly, it's probably not. I know that she's in love with Randall, and they're getting married, and we're very excited for her in that. I don't know if it's like a jealousy thing, or if she's, I don't know. I sparked something inside of her to act that way. I don't think she has a crush on James. I think it's just, you know, they were really good friends at a point, and they want to be friends again. And it's just more of a complicated friendship.
Right. When's the last time you've seen Lala?
The last time I saw her was at her 1-year sobriety party at Tom Tom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it was really nice, but I did speak to her over the phone after last week's episode, because she reached out to me and she said she felt like she had a pit in her stomach after watching that episode. And I told her I felt the exact same way. And, you know, she apologized to me, and she said that, you know, she genuinely was coming from a place of like a good place when she came. Sorry. She came to me from a place of genuine concern when she came over to talk to me about James going to the party, but it kind of escalated. I think there was something that was triggered in that moment.
I think, yeah, the mention of Logan, too, probably didn't help things.
Well, yeah, I feel like Logan's a trigger word for both of us because, you know, I've had a really good friendship with Logan, which, like, I feel like not a lot of people know. Logan, James, and I were really, really good friends. And the part that Logan just couldn't get over was that I was going to go home with James at the end of each day. So, you know, it's just discouraging. I hate when Lala brought up that rumor again, because, like, we're so far past this. We already resolved all of this. And for her to bring it up again is just, like, there's no need.
Right. Well, because this season is different, you know, there's the newer servers and then it's the OG servers. Mm-hmm. Who are you closer to?
I guess I'm closer to the newer servers because I'm actually working with them week in and week out. And I've developed really good relationships with Dana and Danica. They're, like, really cool girls and, you know, I like them a lot and I like working with them and hanging out with them outside of work. But also I'm really close with Sheena. We've been hanging out more often now than before. And she's been a really good friend to me through all of this. And Ariana and I are good friends as well. So I guess those would be my top four girls right there.
What do you think of Sheena's new boyfriend?
Oh my gosh, I love Brock. I love Brock. I'm so happy that they're still together right now too, because in the beginning I was like, we'll see where this goes. Sheena has a new fling and it usually is like a come and go kind of thing where I don't even know the guy's name. But Brock is a different story and he's a really good guy and treats Sheena right and they have a good friendship. We play on Fortnite together. We squad up James, Brock, and me. And, you know, it's fun. And Sheena's in the background, so we all have a good time with that.
That's amazing. What has been the hardest part of becoming a server?
I guess the hardest part is remembering people's orders. writing them down fast enough, especially when I go to a table and I'm, you know, just introducing myself and pouring some water maybe, and they're ready to order right away. And I don't have time to get out my pen and paper to write it down. I'm just like, okay, they wanted a ribeye steak with mashed potatoes and broccolini. Okay. And like repeating so I don't mess up, which I have before.
You have a lot of managers at Sir. Who is the scariest?
I would say Diana, which you don't really see a lot on the show.
Right. Well, we do know that Kristen told her to suck a dick.
Yes. She's just, I feel like our relationship has gotten better because I always like say, hi, Diana. But she's probably the most stern. And when I first started working at Sir, she came up to me and she's like, Raquel, you have a bad Yelp review. You need to learn all the drinks on the drink menu. I'm like, I was terrified. I was horrified. I'm like, I have a bad Yelp review. Like, my life is over. But then I like studied the bar menu and came back to her and I presented to her all the ingredients in every drink. So she was happy about that.
Amazing. You know, in this new normal, who knows what's going to happen with any of the reunions, but if there is a reunion for Vanderpump Rules, how will you possibly outdo last season's dress?
I can't. So I'm not even going to try. I already picked out a few options that I might wear if there ever is a reunion. And it definitely is not going to come up to par with last year's dress. And I'm okay with that because that was like my first reunion. That was my entrance. And I felt really confident wearing it. But this year I am going to take it down a little bit and, you know, really focus on, you know, what I'm saying instead of the dress that I'm wearing.
Amazing. Thank you so much for hopping on this call with us. Please send James our love, and we're wishing you the best during quarantine.
Thank you. He's making so much music right now. I swear, by the time we get out of quarantine, you guys are going to have a whole new playlist of James.
Yes. I'm excited.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Beverly Hills.
Let's do it.
I have to ask, because I know you love Dorit, and you know that I love Dorit now, too. She has grown on me. I think she's just so fun.
Don't you come for Dorit. Don't you come for Dorit.
I want to propose something to you. If Dorit and PK are not con artists,
they
certainly know a few, right?
What makes you say that, though?
The producers in the moment where they're in the interview together and they're like eating the breath mints, and producers are kind of like asking them about their house and why only one person's name is on it. And then they turn it around on the producer. Anytime you redirect the conversation, I'm sort of like, they're hiding something. Maybe it's not that they're being shady or that they've done anything shady, but I think they are either in contact with or have worked with people in the past who probably are shady.
I think it's one of those things where, first of all, Dorit sounded not great to be like, is your house and both of you and your partner's name? Like, probably. I think that's how it works in a lot of situations. I'm not saying all situations, but I think it's pretty common that you would both have your names on this home, right? Unless one of you is in bad financial standing or something of that. So, I mean, there's just a million ways you can answer it where you are truthful and say, like, either I don't want to talk about it, or yeah, like, he's had to file for bankruptcy. It affects the way that we have to do money things, you know?
Why is the house in your name and not your and PK's name together?
Well, what difference does that make? I mean, is your house in both yours and your wife's name?
Say that there was a reason for it that you're not willing to discuss or unable to discuss, because if it does tie back to a lawsuit, which by the end of last season, it was brought up because there were a lot of rumors that there were lawsuits and things, and Camille went right for it and just started talking about it that dinner. Thank you, Camille, for bringing that to us. But yeah, there are other ways to answer the question. I just think it's shady when it's turned around and it's avoidance, and it just is weird. So, yeah. I mean, I know that there's something there, and I'm curious to know if we'll learn more over the course of this season, because they've moved and things are different. So I don't know. I loved that moment with the producers and the breath mints. It was so strange.
Me too.
You know, it was just so weird, but like perfect. My question to you is, why would Garcelle write an email? Publicity, media, Hollywood 101. Like, don't put it in writing, because it's going to get out there.
Well, but I think she did want it out there. She just didn't want it out there in terms of the press. I do understand. It's just crazy, because it's like, on one hand, if your spouse cheats on you, you want to do like the quickest and easiest thing to hurt them the most. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you're sending this to all of his colleagues and to his clients. You're messing with your money at the end of the day. That's the money that is also providing for your children. What are you doing?
Right. I mean, even if she did it to embarrass him, it's one of those things where you are putting yourself at risk, and then you could risk maybe a lawsuit from him or something where he could say, you know, slander, defamation of character. Like, there, I feel like it just opens up this whole other can of worms that could just make it even more complicated to then break up and separate, whatever, you know. It just, I was just like, I feel like that's such a rookie move for someone who's been in this industry for as long as Garcelle has.
But for the same reason that Brandy's openness, that she's a little crazy and like she's willing to admit it, because I'm thinking back specifically to when Brandy first came on the show and was mm-hmm. like, yeah, I slashed Eddie's tires. Like, I loved that so much about her that she's like, yeah, I know I'm crazy. And like, I'm putting it out there. I kind of admire that about Garcelle too.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, I appreciate that she is offering us pretty much everything so far. Like, yeah. That is the kind of housewife that we want and need. But yeah, I just thought it was a little messy, but hey, sometimes messy is good.
You know who I am just loving this season, who I've really had, I don't know, a little on and off with?
Who?
Erica.
Oh, okay.
I just feel like this season we're seeing a lighter, more fun side of Erica than we have before, while also getting a little real. Like, not only her getting so overcome with emotion when she's signing the contract for Chicago and just how grateful she was to Tom and his support, which again is why I always pick him for who I would want to be my house husband. I think he's just amazing in so many ways. But I also loved the conversation with Garcelle where Garcelle's like, oh yeah, I'm expecting a grandchild. And Erica's like, oh my God, like I need a drink because our kids are not far off in age and I cannot be a grandma right now.
Right, can you imagine Erica Jane as a grandma?
We need champagne.
I need a drink because I just saw my life flash before my eyes.
Okay,
okay.
Oh my
Is
God.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, congratulations.
Thank you so much and I don't know what I want to
do. Hi, do you have liquor? My friend and I need a drink.
Okay, we'll stick around.
Like she said, like, can you imagine this showing up at like the school pickup line?
Right. I loved the moment where Garcelle was like, how's sex? Like that is so hilarious because
it's what we're all at wondering.
100%. And you know, not to age shame or any of that, no way. But like, I want to just know, how does it work? Like, how does it work? I don't need details, but like, is it often? Is it not that often? You know, like, what is your sex life like? Because Erica Jane, her brand is so sexy.
Sexual, I mean, yeah.
It just like that is her whole thing. And just to know that her marriage is, to many people, unconventional. I'm just curious to know a little bit more of those details.
Well, and it's interesting you're like, not to age shame. I don't think it is. I think the problem is there isn't enough discussion about sex when you're older. And that's why I think a lot of people our age are like, wait, when does it stop? Like, we just don't know because no one talks about it.
Yeah, no, that is a great point. And you know what? I interviewed Dr. Jackie a couple months ago about her new book, The Queen Bee. I think one of the things that we talked about was misconceptions. And I remember her bringing up the fact that she thought in her 20s, in 30s, that's when you have the best sex of your life. Like, that's the time, that's your prime, that's when it's going to be your best. And she's like, no, like, it can keep going and it should keep going well into, you know, your 50s and beyond. And that, I think that's something that is important to remember, that it doesn't stop.
Yeah, but does it go into your 70s and 80s?
Let's hope so for all of us.
I mean, if it does for me, I will shout it from the rooftops. I'll be the most sex positive granny you've ever seen.
Let's talk a little bit about, and I think this is something you also probably love, watching people super doped out on drugs after a surgery.
Oh, love it.
Like, just one of my favorite things. There's, you know, years ago, there were so many of those viral videos that were happening where people would film their kids or their friends after coming out of their, you know, wisdom teeth surgery, just saying the craziest shit. There was one, did you see, where they convinced their sister that there was
Millicent, yes.
If you guys have not seen this video, you have to look it up. They do such a good job. And she just, like, because she's so drugged up, she's just, like,
she
on
just
board.
With it.
She's, like, upset that they choose to, like, take the dog but leave the cat.
No, 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 no. That was the best because they're, like, Millicent, we can only take one, the dog or the cat. And she's, like, the cat, you idiot.
That's right. Oh my God, it's so good. I'm going to watch that as soon as we're done recording because it's just so brilliant. So we have Denise, who had to have this insane 6-hour surgery that was somewhat unexpected. I think she knew she was in pain. She knew she had like a hernia, didn't realize how many she had. So goes through this awful 6-hour surgery, comes out, shows up. She's on the phone with her kids. She's just like all sorts of out of it. And then what I loved was like Aaron coming in with this like very strange technology.
Here, this is going to help stimulate alpha frequency.
This is what I'm going to do to help her. And he explains it. But even Lisa Rinna's like, I have no idea what the hell he's talking about. And it's just, remember last season when we first met Aaron and we didn't really understand what he was doing for work? Well, I still don't understand, even after all of this explanation.
Can I tell you, I'm so excited for you to watch next week's episode because I watched ahead and they get into it. It is the craziest conversation you'll see. And that's all I'll say. Oh, I just can't wait.
Well, it's just, I don't want to be skeptical about new age technology or medicine or things that can advance the medical field, but it's just the way he talks about it almost with an air of like pretension that I'm just sort of like, are you bullshitting us or are you actually on to something really remarkable?
I think either way, he believes it 1000%.
Right. All right. So we learn a lot more about Sutton this episode, that she's divorced, opening a store.
Mm-hmm. Sutton. That's what it's called. Sutton.
It's called Sutton. Is there an exclamation point?
Oh, there should be.
I hope so. There's jazz hands. Yeah, I mean, she definitely is an interesting character. And I do think that, especially after watching her Instagram live with you and then seeing this episode, she's growing on me in the kooky housewife way.
Yeah. She was even like a little reserved, I thought, on the IG live, like probably because she was, you know, a little nervous. I think this is all new to her. And plus she has said something like, I can see that everyone hates me. So I think she was seeing some comments on social media and I was like, no, I mean, like I'm getting a lot of positive comments here. I think people just don't, they're not sure.
You know what? I've always said this, that it's better to be hated than for people to feel indifferent about you.
Yeah, like if there's 1000%,
you know, if there's no immediate reaction, then that says something. If it's sort of like, oh, I don't know how I feel, then that generally means they're not going to like you in the long run. But the hate can very quickly turn into love. I mean, look at Camille Grammer's journey on this show. She was literally the most hated housewife in season one. And now we're all just like begging for her to come back at every opportunity we can get. So this could be the same journey that Sutton ends up on this season.
Yeah. I don't know. It was just funny how she was like, oh, the mayor is here, and how all the women were like, so like is that good? Like,
yeah. Is that a good thing? Or and then she's addressing her parking tickets with him.
That was funny.
It was funny.
Your tires have to all be facing the same way.
Listen, you know, so I used to live in LA. I'm telling you, Megan, I probably have about 30 unpaid parking tickets from that city.
What?
Parking in Los Angeles is terrible because it's true. In West Hollywood, there's all these rules. In Santa Monica, there's all these rules. In, you know, Beverly Hills, I'm sure there's even more. And I just remember at one point opening my glove compartment and having so many parking tickets that I was just like, but I felt like since they were all in different cities, technically, maybe they wouldn't communicate with each other and I could just get away with it. So far, so good, but I don't know.
I just remember in college, you know, like you would park anywhere because you had to get to class like on time. So I would get so many parking tickets, and then they had a thing where like you couldn't graduate until you paid them.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh,
yeah.
That was I felt terrible bill.
Last thoughts on Beverly Hills. What would you do if you got the text from Teddy inviting you on this retreat?
I think I'd sort of be into that type of situation because it's like, I hate working out. So it's to be put in a situation where you have to, I think would be good for me. However, she built in an out in the invitation. And I actually appreciate that, but these women do not. They clearly want you're invited and I want you here so much. Like, you know what I mean? Like they want to know that it's life or death if they don't come, which is interesting to me. I like a built-in, hey, if it's not your bag, like, don't worry about it.
Right. It's funny because I think given the quarantine and everything we're all going through, these type of invitations are coming out a lot where someone will be like, this happened to us this past weekend, me and Danny. We got a text from our friend like at 6:30, 7 o'clock on Friday night that was like, hey, I'm hosting a game night at 8 o'clock on House Party if you guys want to come, but no pressure. I know it's last minute. So then from 6:30 to 8 p.m., we're like, okay, well, should we go? Because she wants us to go. But, like, this was sort of last minute. Like, we don't really have to. And, you know, in quarantine, it's a little bit harder to say no to things.
Exactly. Well, and also, what does last minute even mean? Time does not exist right now.
Right. But, it is true. Like, the next day, though, on Saturday, we had a happy hour for one of our friends' birthdays. And then, like, an 8 o'clock, like, evening hang out with another friend whose birthday it was. And so it's just like our social schedules are getting weirdly stacked in some ways.
That's
and just
so funny.
You know, like it's and then it is really difficult when you don't really have the out. But I guess I appreciate our friend giving us the, I know it's last minute, you don't have to, but it's also like, well, what do we say? Like, we had a movie night planned. Like, we don't have to have a movie night, but we sort of did.
You lie and say you have a happy hour or something.
I know, but like lying is hard. And I just...
Oh my God, it's so easy for me.
I feel like I understand how a lot of these women reacted to Teddy's invitation, just particularly because of what we're all going through right now, where there is no escaping from social plans anymore.
That's true. God, that's so true.
Let's do Rose and Thorn.
Thorn. All right, what's your rose?
My rose was from Shaws of Sunset, and it was the girls' night that Paulina organized, and it was particularly the moment between MJ and Gigi, which I thought was really refreshing because this season has been so crazy and so many friendships are being put to the test, you know, just thinking of everything Reza and MJ are going through. So that moment where it was like really tender between them and it was connecting on that kind of motherly level.
I'm sorry you've gone through what you went through. You know, it's like I look at it like a jealousy factor. I would rather go through what you went through and have a child. I feel like I've gotten my shit together to a point where I feel like I'm ready to give that love to a child, and I feel like I have more than what two people can give right now.
And I'm sure that's going to be a reality for you very soon.
Yeah.
I was just like, this is nice to see because, you know, Gigi doesn't really get down with MJ. And so it was just kind of nice to see the two of them connect and put things aside and get along for a bit. What was your rose?
So, you know, I love Bo from Vanderpump Rules. And so I'm going to give it to him because I feel like he's put in a really tough position by Stassi right now. He is friends with Kristen, has no beef with Kristen, but Stassi does. And even though he thinks that they'll still be friends one day, he's got to go with his girlfriend right now. That's just where his loyalty lies. And I love that in a man.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
What was your thorn?
My thorn comes from Real Housewives of New York City. And it's sort of a rose and a thorn because it was the producers being shady, but it was also them reminding me of some of our favorite ladies' potential politics and their alignment when it comes to politics, because there was sort of that brief thing that was shown on the screen during New York City where it was like Trump fundraiser. And I was just like, oh God, I don't want to think about it. Don't make me think about it. But I thought about it.
Oh.
What was your thorn?
My thorn also came from Vanderpump Rules. It was this whole thing where Sheena goes to Dana's apartment and, you know, they're trying to make up for the umpteenth time. And Sheena's like, you know, for your birthday, I know your mom died. So I wanted to get you this medium who could connect with your mom. Dana, rightfully so, is like, that's a lot to spring on someone. Sheena's like, oh, it's fine. And Dana's like, I mean, is she here right now? And she's like, no. I just told her like she could come if you wanted it, but you don't, it's fine. And then Dana sees her go outside and tell the medium. She doesn't want to do this. And Dana's like, are you serious? Like, you gave her my apartment. Like, you didn't even ask first. What is wrong with you?
Was she supposed to be here at a certain time today?
I told her what time I was going to be here and if she could be available in case this was something you wanted.
But, like, available at my apartment.
I didn't give her the apartment number.
Okay. You just told me on the couch you didn't, that it was available to me, not that you had her here waiting for me.
She was not here yet. And then she was here.
This must be a really good psychic, so much so that she was able to figure out my address and what time to be there.
We don't like a blindside. It happened on Atlanta with the cookie lady. That was awkward. A blindside with a medium to speak to a dead relative.
Dead. And not just any relative, but like your mom. Like,
right.
No, Gina.
Give her a gift certificate, you know? Like an IOU to the medium. Like, no.
Yeah.
Next week, we're also releasing a bonus episode around family karma because, sadly, it's the season finale. But we have an interview with Bali Chainani, who is my favorite character on the show. So stay tuned for that, and we'll have a regularly scheduled episode next week.
And that episode will feature interviews with Garcelle Bouvet and Teddy Mellencamp Roy Ave.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays.
You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss me one more.
I love a good parasocial relationship with a celebrity who will probably never know my name.
I mean, honestly, who knows? Don't count yourself out. But my favorite part about these feuds is how they're ignited by the tiniest things.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it.
I accidentally laminated my brows too much.
It starts small and then it gets so big.
To be honest, Naomi, I'm fearful of you to this day.
I don't know her.
We all just have to admit, we're addicted. Everybody has opinions. Everyone picks sides.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now.
From Wondery, I'm Sydney Battle.
And I'm Matt Bellassai.
And this is Dis and Tell, la, la, la. Where we unpack why we get so invested in these feuds and whether or not our attention only makes the whole thing worse.
Follow Dis and Tell wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loreau, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.